Podcast 45, The Vine and the Branches. The gospel passage for this podcast is John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. Excuse me. This week is on our focus is in the gospel reading in John 15, which is about vines, branches, and fruit. So a very horticultural theme. My dad was a nurseryman, and I grew up as a child in the nursery in Palmerston North. But sadly, I didn't manage to get the green thumbs in my genetic heritage. Dad very quickly realized that the best place for me in the nursery was in the office, folding promotional brochures and putting them into envelopes for posting out. Now, Jesus was very good at using everyday familiar things for his audience to make points about spiritual life and growth. This year, we have as a parish vision, small steps to growth. And we can learn some valuable lessons from this passage of Scripture today about what is needed for us to grow in grace and spiritual maturity. This passage at the start of John 15 is the last of the I Am statements of Jesus scattered through from John 6 to John 15. These statements include, I am the bread of life in John 6. I am the light of the world in John 8. I am the gate of the sheep in John 10. I am the good shepherd also in John 10. I am the resurrection and the life in John 11. And I am the way, the truth and the life in John 14. This final I am statement in John 15 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. And it's for those who have decided to follow Jesus and who are now seeking to live a life that belongs with him. In the Old Testament, Israel is pictured as the vineyard of God. I planted you as a choice vine, God tells them through the prophet Jeremiah. Israel is a luxuriant vine, says Hosea. The vine was one of the national emblems of Israel. It appeared on the coins of the Maccabees, and there was a famous golden vine on the decoration on the front of the holy place in the temple. But although the nation of Israel might consider itself as God's vine or vineyard, the Old Testament references actually use the example not to praise the faithfulness of God's people, but to berate the nation for being unfruitful, for being a vineyard that has run wild, and was bedraggled, and now desperately in need of attention. For Jesus' hearers, these ideas would immediately spring to mind when they heard Jesus speaking about being the true vine. It would remind them of the privileged place the Jewish people had in terms of their relationship with God. But it was also called to mind the way that the nation of Israel had been disobedient and turned away from the one true God, and worshipped false gods. Now the key word in this passage is translated as remain or abide. This word is meno in the Greek, which means to remain, to abide, or to stay. The use of this word in the Greek New Testament is important in describing the relationship between every believer and Christ. The permanence of the believer in Christ and him, Christ in him or her, is elucidated through an understanding of this word, meno. Now, if you chop off a branch from the vine, what happens? Well, obviously it dies. It stops bearing fruit. Any fruit it was bearing also withers and dies. This very simple lesson shows we are dependent for our spiritual life on God. He is the source of everything good we do. Paradoxically, sometimes God takes the pruning shears to our lives, even when they are fruitful. Historically, the vine has grown all over Israel, often on terraces, and the ground into which the grapevines are planted has to be scrupulously clean. As far as pruning goes, and Jesus sees this as an important aspect in this allegory, a vine has always needed plenty of attention. As one gardener puts it, If you don't prune your vines, they will become unruly, tangled messes. Fruit ripeness will suffer, and overproduction of the vine may lead to premature death. Pruning a vine ensures that non-fruit-bearing wood is not wasting valuable nutrients that would otherwise be directed toward fruiting. It also allows for proper care of the vine, selection of the strongest branches, and a worthwhile crop of quality fruit. Interestingly, the wood that is pruned out is actually useless for anything, too soft to be of value, and is often burned to destroy it. In the Jewish context, it was banned for being offered as kindling for the altar fire in the temple. All these things would be going through the minds of Jesus' listeners as they digested what he was saying to them. And I guess even if we only have a limited knowledge of gardening, we begin to see and visualize what Jesus was trying to say to the people around him. So do we expect to be pruned, even when we're fruitful? Do we expect God to reach for those pruning shears? What did Jesus mean by every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful? Is pruning a pleasant experience for the vine? Because it's not just dead wood being cut away, but also living tissue. I can imagine if the vine had a voice, it would definitely object to being pruned. But the result of this painful process is God's glory in our lives. After all, we are the fifth gospel, the only gospel that some people will get to read. So God is going to prune us, so that what Jesus says in verse 8 may come true. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. We are to bear fruit, so that we can show ourselves as disciples to the world. We are to be a blessing, not just to ourselves or to the people around us in our community of faith, but to the wider community, to Aotearoa New Zealand. The fruit that Jesus is speaking about is neatly summarized in Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. The fruitful life is the life that's lived by faith, by abiding and remaining in Jesus Christ. It's the giving up of self and being daily refilled by God's Spirit. That's the life that is truly connected and nourished by the vine. It's a fruitful life. It's a life that gives glory to God, and a life that attracts others to the vine, as a flower might attract bees by its sweet fragrance. And that's the life all of us are called to. That's the life all of us, including me, want to aspire to.